Please take your seats. So, Psalm 115. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name, give glory. Well, we all agree, right? We don't want glory for ourselves. It's nice if someone thanks us, but everything we do is for his glory, right? This world pushes us to make a name for ourselves. That's how success seems to be measured. But it's not that way in God's kingdom. It really does make perfect sense for us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, to turn from all the things that we're worried about, the things that give us a sense of feeling overwhelmed, and also to turn our eyes off ourselves for a moment and to look at the one who created us and do what we were created for, to be in relationship with our Creator, worshipping him and giving glory to him. We're going to have a quick look at the whole psalm, and then I just want to focus really on that first verse of not to us, but to your name give glory. But let's have a look through the psalm. As I said before, it would have been sung by the Jews during Passover, and this means that Jesus sang it probably the night before he died. The psalm, as we saw, would be broken up so that when Penelope was speaking, that would have been everyone. When Martin was speaking, that would have been the Levitical choir leader, then back to everyone, then to the priests, then back to everyone again. And verses 2 to 8 is another reason why I like this psalm. It might be good for you to have it open in front of you if you've got your Bibles. I like it because of all the body parts mentioned in it. I know we had hands last week in our all-age service, and this week in Sprouts they're looking at feet, but they're particularly looking at the story, and in word searches, at the story of Mary and Martha and Mary sitting at Jesus' feet, the importance to sit at Jesus' feet. But in this song, once the writer has asked, why are other people mocking me, saying, where is your God? They go on to list all the body parts that an idol has that serve absolutely no purpose. And whilst we as Christians have a God that isn't visible and cannot be touched, at least we don't have a God that has a mouth and eyes and nose and ears and feet and voices that can't be used or seen and that can be seen but are useless. I wonder if you ever at work perhaps get those cynical taunts from those who don't believe that God is real. Where is your God then when there are wars, when my loved one is sick, when I feel alone? I don't see your God. And it's true, we cannot point to a physical being and say, there he is. And yet in history, of course, God gave himself a mouth and eyes and ears and hands and feet. We do know what God is like because of Jesus. Our God is one who uses his mouth to speak truth and wisdom. His ears constantly listen to our cries for help. His hands reach out to comfort and to heal, and his feet go wherever there is need. But for 21st century skeptics, where is our proof? Well, it has to be within our own stories. We are the fallen, broken, sinful people who now know that we are loved and forgiven and have the security of an eternal inheritance. So verses 9 to 11 that Martin read, the choir leader gives three groups of people a reminder to trust in the Lord, that he is their help and their shield. And as we think of a shield, we think about being undercover, surrounded, protected, with nothing to fear. The three groups of people are the people of Israel, the Israelites, God's people, the house of Aaron, that's his ministers, the ones who instruct and set an example, and those who fear the Lord, probably meaning the Gentiles who found faith in God. Then we move on to verses 12 and 13. And I love the way the psalmist structures the people's response again. Yes, God has remembered each of those three groups, his God's people, God's servants, and those who fear the Lord, both small and great. We're more used to the phrase great and small, aren't we? But it is purposefully flipped around here. God blesses those who are small first. He recognizes that we need to be dependent on him. Come like a child. Come when you feel weak. Come when you feel downtrodden and helpless and small. A couple of days ago on Friday, Johnny, my colleague, and I were in a year 6 classroom in a community school, and we're sharing the story of Joseph to the year sixes as they face the big change of moving on. We think about the roller coaster ride of Joseph's life and how they'll have a bit of a roller coaster ride of feeling excited and feeling anxious all at the same time. But then actually we want them to know that God is with them and he doesn't want us to worry. He wants to hand those worries over to him. So I asked if there were any questions, and the smallest girl in the class, little ginger-haired girl, put her hand up, and I recognised her from the jam club that used to run in the school pre-COVID. And as I went to go point to her, she shook her head and her hand went down. And you could see that little worried look on her face. So at the end of this class, the children write down some of the things, the good tips they've learned, good advice they've learned about moving on to high school. And Johnny goes straight for this girl, recognising that she had something on her mind. And she said, I do believe in God, but how do I know he's really real when I can't see him? And the only answer that Johnny can give to that is his own experience of how God has been at work in his life. And that discussion led on to what heaven is like with the rest of the five children listening at that table. God will bless those who fear him, the small and the great. Verses 14 and 15 that Steve read, then the priests bless the people. To have an increase, which is what he blesses them with, is from God's original covenant, his blessing on mankind, to go forth and multiply, the blessing that he gave, the covenant that he made with Abraham too. And I think it might be more helpful in this day and age of an overpopulated world to think about the multiplying of those who are in God's kingdom. Then verses 16 to 18 at the end, the final stanza, summarises that song. The heavens belong to God. Which type of heavens was he meaning? Does he mean like the sky, or does he mean the place where God dwells? Well, it doesn't really matter, does it? Because they both belong to God. And then he trusted us with the earth. That's a whole nother topic for another day. And then verse 17, we need to pass on that desire to praise God, because when we are gone, we won't be praising God on earth. Of course, we need to remember that Jesus was singing this the night before he died. And Jesus wants the people to bless and praise God when he is gone. And because of his imminent death, it's not just the Israelites and the Levites that will be able to praise God and bless God, but it will also be the Gentiles and any who fear the Lord, which is us. I wonder who you can think of that invested time in setting an example of praising and worshipping God for you. And perhaps for you, the person that's invested in you is no longer with us. There are so many people that perhaps have invested time in setting an example for us. And then it made me think, when we are gone, who will be thankful for us? Are there people that we have encouraged to give glory to God who, when we're gone, they'll remember us? But let's just go back to verse 1. I promise I won't do every verse in detail. I just want to look at verse 1. Again, giving glory to God. This is a song asking for deliverance, not because God's people want to win a battle, but because God's reputation, his name, and his fame is at stake. So when we pray for our church, I wonder if our motives are always straight. Do we want to bring a church that just brings glory to God? Or are we dreaming of a church that's got full pews, or even better, full comfy seats, and sermons that make you feel so good about yourself, you want to go home and think about them a bit more at home, and a great big band, massive band, with loads and loads of things, and children that fill the first half of the church and sit beautifully. But is it because we want a good reputation for Lancaster Baptist Church, or is it because we want a good reputation for God? Are we praying as much for the church in this city and worldwide as we're praying for our own church? Because, yes, we're busy here, but actually the whole church belongs to God and the whole church brings glory to God. And then the praying that we did last week, that was wonderful. And prayer is vital as we move forward. It was to bring our church, our vision, our efforts to God and say, it's not for us, it's for you. Direct us, work the miracles, we are your servants. It's really important that we keep on submitting to God's will, and it's pointless to serve without prayer. In this first verse, the ESV, which is the chosen version that I chose, because that's my go-to version, says, "For the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness." And these two qualities of God are translated into lots of different words. The first of those words, hesed, has been translated mercy, compassion, love, grace, goodness. But it's important to understand that it's not just a feeling, it's an action. It's a sense of God's loving kindness inspiring mercy and compassion. That word loving kindness, I don't see it coming up anywhere else in the world. And actually, I think it's a really great word, isn't it? Loving kindness, love that leads on to acts of kindness. The second word, faithfulness, basically is all about truth. God is reliable, he is stable, he is firm, he is truthful, he is trustworthy. That is God's character. He cannot lie. Therefore, the writer is saying, because you, God, are lovingly devoted to us and cannot be untrue to your own character, deliver us and bring glory to yourself. It makes you think of Peter in John chapter 6. It's a time when Jesus has been teaching about something that's really difficult to hear, and quite a lot of people turn away and leave him. And Jesus turns to his disciples and says, "Are you going to go too? Are you going to leave?" And Peter says, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." There are no other options. God is the only God. He is the one who lovingly created us and continues to pour out his compassion on us. He is truth. And to turn to anything else is to try and find help from an idol that has no senses and certainly is not devoted to our good. As trouble comes, whether this is in a worldwide pandemic or a war in Europe or a crisis for those with lower incomes, or whether that trouble comes, as Anne was saying in her prayers, in a family breakdown or a misunderstanding or a health concern, when we need deliverance, where do we go? Only God can meet our needs, hear our prayers, powerfully work to bring hope, healing, and deliverance. And when he answers, are we quick to bring glory to God, or do we say, "Well, that could have been worse"? Do we trust God, or do we make fear, worry, and anxiety our dwelling place? I know in the small troubles that I've had that the difference it makes when I come to God in prayer and I think about him and who he is and how I need to trust him, that makes a huge difference than whether I try and fix things myself or put my head in the sand and try and forget about the problem. In every troubled circumstance, there is an opportunity to ask for God's deliverance so that the glory can go to him. And I hope that doesn't sound flippant or easy, because it isn't. I wanted us to take some time just to focus on who God is. And I know that my voice going on and on is not going to help you do that. So we're going to have a little video in a moment. And that video spells out his character and his names and what he is about. In Pen Pals this year, so Pen Pals is the magazine, letter. What is it? It's a thing we've been sending out every month for the last 2 years to about 25 children that has Bible truths in it, and Dan puts a thought in it, and Karen does a recipe in it. We have crafts, we have a poem, we have puzzles. And in those, we've been looking during this last year at the qualities of God. What makes God, God? And those are included in this video. So hopefully Logan is able to play that video for us. Let us just prayerfully think through these qualities of God. I hope that something from that list was a timely reminder for you. And if you are like me, easily distracted from focusing on God, that will have helped. We need to remember that everything comes from his hand. Our lives, our ministries, our families, our friends, our help in times of trouble, our successes and our challenges. All from God, all opportunities to bring him glory. Are we asking for God's blessing in every area so that the glory goes to him? Is Spurgeon, and for anybody that doesn't know who Spurgeon was a chap in the 1800s who wrote loads of sermons and books and had a massive influence on the way church is even today. He said this, O child of God, be more careful to keep the way of the Lord, more concentrated in heart in seeking his glory, and you will see the loving kindness and the tender mercy of the Lord in your life. It also happens to be recorded about Spurgeon's life that he fell out with the Baptist Union, which I thought was quite interesting, because they got a bit woolly. But anyway, they're not like that now, they're different now. But it does make me quake a little bit to think that if Spurgeon wandered in today to our churches, what would he think of us? Does he think we're a bit flippant and a bit comfortable? Are we too quick to excuse ourselves and each other when the Bible tells us to encourage each other and build each other up? When there's an opportunity to worship God or serve God or to bring him glory, then we don't do our friends any favour when we tell them and it's fine and excuse them. I was talking recently to someone about how many years ago when my children were little, we used to have a mums and toddlers prayer group, a Bible study group with folks like Rebecca and Rebecca Hewitt and Deborah Henderson. And we realised that quite often we were excusing each other. We were sharing about how we were a bit rubbish at this and a bit rubbish at that. And then we were all like, nah, well, we're all like that, it's fine. But actually, particularly in things like, I'm not very good at making time to pray. Well, there are times you can pray. I used to sit with my head against the bars, waiting for Ellen to stroke my hair to get to sleep and think, I could actually pray now, I'm not doing anything else. Probably shouldn't have done that, it made her very clingy. But anyway, we are missing out on giving glory to God. And we don't want our friends to miss out on bringing glory to God either. Let's take some time to pray. And we're going to think about who God is. We're also going to think about our ministries that we have. And also, we're going to think of one other person that we can pray for, that we will encourage, so that when we are gone, they are thankful for us. Let's pray. Creator God, the Almighty and All-Powerful One, who stooped to walk alongside us with eyes and ears and hands and feet like us, the God who gave himself as the Lamb of God, the sacrifice for the world, the one who saves and redeems, our God who is also Spirit, who dwells in us and guides us and comforts us and directs us. Lord, we're sorry for the times where we just don't give you your rightful place in our lives. Lord, we're sorry for the times where the glory has gone to us and not to you. And Father, we bring to you those things that we do to bring glory to you. Particularly, Lord, any ministries that we have in this church, ways that we serve each other and serve our community. Lord, we pray that we would be so close to you, so in tune with your Spirit, that we would know that you're saying, this is the way, walk in it. Father, help us again to be clear about our vision, our mission, our ministry in this church. And Lord, we pray that the glory would go to you, not just in this place, but in churches across Lancaster, across our nation, across this planet. And Father, we do pray that we would leave some kind of lasting legacy, that Lord, we will have shared in a friendship or shared in some other way of your love and your goodness. So that there'll be somebody who is thankful for us. Someone who recognises that we've had a hand in encouraging them in their walk with you. Lord, help us not to drift through life saying next time. But Lord, when the opportunity comes and someone asks a question, Lord, help us to be brave. Help us to make the sacrifice of our reputation for the sake of your reputation. Thank you, Lord, that you long to hear our prayers. Thank you, Lord, that you are all-powerful and can do the impossible. And Father, as we come to you, small and weak, thank you that that's where you specialise. That, Lord, you want to lift us in your loving arms and that you want us to be dependent on you. Thank you, God. Thank you for your loving kindness. In Jesus' name, amen. I confused Carl, who was putting the songs on the PowerPoint today, because I've gone way back in time to Majesty, Worship His Majesty, which is a couple in the old Mission Praise, which I'll just make Peter skip over there.